Amen. Praise the Lord. His love ran red. And isn't it amazing how God works? What the world took as defeat, what Satan thought it would defeat, was actually our victory. Amen. And today we come to celebrate that. We celebrate a God who loves us. Today I want us to look at the Passover lamb. Some of y'all were able to be a part of our Seder that we had, and our missionary from France came in and shared what each of those parts meant, but understanding that there is a Passover lamb that is required. And we began to see a very quick picture of that at the very beginning of God's Word in the book of Genesis, when God had created man and woman. They were living in a perfect garden. That lovely serpent, that snake, the devil came in and deceived them, and they sinned. And the moment they sinned, it broke fellowship with God. The world become a darker place. And from that very moment on, throughout all of our lives and throughout this world, things are dying and things are separated. Well, God's plan didn't end there. It actually began. Because if you remember, the Bible tells us what? That he gave them clothes. He killed an animal to make clothes to cover up their nakedness. And when he did, it required an animal to die and blood to be shed. And throughout all of history, God has used blood, the love of Christ running red, to cover sin. Before Christ, there were sacrifices and the Passover lamb. And I am so excited today to share with y'all about this Passover lamb and the amazing things that are there. Things that we miss when we just read over it, because not all of us in here, but most of us have grown up in church. We've heard these stories over and over. We could just about quote them. But to understand and to dig down into the heritage and the meaning of what was going on, because remember, they wrote in the Bible, they just couldn't write everything. There wouldn't be enough room. But the things that they understood what was being written. And that's what I want us to look at today, is the Passover lamb. And the first thing that I want us to see today is the Passover lamb instituted. There was a point in time and history that God instituted the sacrifice for this Passover lamb. And let me go ahead and catch you up. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And as you're turning there, let me catch you up where we're at in history when we begin to look at this Exodus 12, verse 11. Israel has gone into Egypt. They're in captivity. They have been crying out for years for the Lord to rescue them as the chosen people, to save them, to remove them from their bondage, from their slave to the Egyptians. God heard them, and he sent a very unlikely man named Moses, a man who, in his own words, said, "I can't speak." The Lord sent Aaron along with him, and they go and they begin speaking to Pharaoh. And they go through plague after plague after plague. They begin to see, Pharaoh sees with his own eyes the mighty hand and the mighty power of God. We serve a powerful God, amen? Amen. I'm going to use y'all today. Now y'all going to have to help me. We serve a powerful God, and they saw it. Plague after plague after plague after plague, through 9 different plagues. And then come the 10th. And we call that the Passover lamb. Or the Passover, the killing of the firstborn. But God said, for my people, here's the trick. For my people who have faith in me, I will pass over and not kill the firstborn in your house. Well, it doesn't say that in Bible, that they had to have faith. They had to have faith because God gave them something very specific to do, that by his command, their receiving through faith would allow this death angel, as it passed through the street, killing the firstborn of cattle, the firstborn of people, would pass over their house. all simply, as we're going to see in a moment, by some sprinkling of some blood. Does it make sense to us? Didn't make sense to them. Guess what? Our salvation today doesn't make sense to the world. Amen. But those who have experienced it understood. I want us today, we're going to look at three different portions of Scripture as we look at the Passover lamb. Would you stand with me as we're at Exodus chapter 12 and listen to what Moses was saying, what Moses was writing as this Passover lamb was introduced or instituted. It said, "Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now in the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then a whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat it." Father God, today I thank you so much for your wonderful word. Father, I pray that you will now allow Holy Spirit to open our eyes and to illuminate the word to us. That, Father, our ears would be tuned in and our hearts softened. Lord, and all distractions removed as we focus on this Passover lamb. Speak to us. Allow us to know the rich and perfect heritage that we have through your Son, Jesus. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The Passover lamb was instituted here because there had to once again be a killing and a bloodshed. And if you notice, I'm going to point out parts as we work our way through that is just going to go. When we get finished today, I believe you're going to be like me and you're going to say, wow, at how perfect and how awesome our God is. There's a lot of times when I'm preparing I find something interesting. I don't go show it with or share it with Nicole. I want her to be surprised. But today there is a pathway in my office where that chair's been rolling and I've been running back and forth. I said, "You ain't going to believe this. You got to hear this Passover lamb and the way God instituted and what he did is amazing as we see the rich heritage to it." The first thing I want you to see, look at verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Moses." This is the Lord God, the Trinity, the all three together, Father, Son, and Spirit. But God is speaking to Moses, and he says, "You need to go, and this is what you need to tell the people to do." And then look at verse 3. It says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves." I want you to remember, jot down on your page, whatever you want to do, 10th of the month. They are to go on the 10th of the month, and they are to select the lamb that's going to be used as the Passover lamb, and they are to hold it. So it's very important that we see the 10th of the month. And then he begins to describe this lamb that they're to use. If you want to have this death angel pass over you as the dying of the firstborn is fixing to happen, it says there at verse 5, "Your lamb shall be an unblemished male." Now, they could have easily chosen on their own to go out and get whatever lamb they want, slaughter it, sprinkle the blood. They could have just shook that thing, got every bit of blood out of it, and drenched the whole house. And guess what? It would have done zero for them. They can try any way. They can get as close as they want it to. They can make it look any way they want to. But unless they do exactly what the Father instituted, the Lord said, it was not going to work. And he said, this must be an unblemished male. Now, understanding, that's taking the best that there is. Amen? That's not taking the one that walks with the limp, or the one that's been in the fight and they're all cut up and it's just of no value to us. They're telling the Israelites, take the most valuable lamb you have. Pick it on the 10th day. And then they move down to verse 6. And it says, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. All right, so on the 10th day, we're going to pick it. It's got to be perfect, unblemished, no spots. And we're going to hold it until the 14th day. What happens on the 14th day? Well, he tells very quickly in verse 6, continues on. It says, of the same month, then the whole assembly of the congregation, all of Israel, is to come together. And it says, the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Most Bibles out there say twilight, some may sunset, but when you dive down into the richness of the Hebrew language and understand that since it is at twilight and the way it's setting up, what he is saying is you are to come together as an assembly, and at the twilight or at between the evenings, you are to sacrifice. Well, when's between the evenings? Sun rises, we consider it at its peak at what time? Noon, it's at its highest. And then it what? It begins to wane down till about 3 o'clock. And then you begin to go into the sunset time. So he's telling them, you're to come together as an assembly with this lamb that you've picked out on the 10th. You've held it till today, the 14th. Everybody's to come together. And between the evenings, between 12 and 3 time frame, you are to sacrifice this lamb. You are to kill it. The purpose of that was to get its blood. And then he tells them at verse 7, moreover, then you shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they are to eat it. To take the blood, take some hyssop, put it on the 2 doorposts, 2 sides, and on the lintel across the top. I don't know if you're beginning to get a picture, but just keep that in your mind. Very specific. And by faith, if you do this, the death angel will pass over you. Why is it by faith? Because it ain't nothing they're doing. It sure sounds like a bunch of hogwash, but the Lord said it, amen. And by faith, if they were to do it, if they didn't, if they chose not to, if they chose to do it any other way, it would not have worked. And we know, as we read, as some would say, the rest of the story, is that night, those that did that, as that death angel come through, you began to hear the wailing and the gnashing of those who didn't have the faith to do that. Those who choose to refuse God, and they begin to wake up and find their firstborn dead, the Israelites not experiencing that. Because of their faith, they escaped the death of the death angel. All the way up to Pharaoh himself lost his firstborn. So devastated him, he released the Israelites, and they began to make their way. And then he gets stubborn and comes back after them. You see, not only do we have the Passover lamb being instituted, but I believe we see in Scripture the Passover lamb remembered. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 1 as we look at they have now come out of Egypt. Some time has passed by, And God is giving them a command to continue what he has instituted in this feast of the Passover and to continue to do it so that they would remember. Let's begin there. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. It says, "Observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. You shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to establish his name. You shall not eat leavened bread with it 7 days, and you shall eat with it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. For 7 days no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory, and none of the flesh which you sacrifice on the evening of the first day shall remain overnight until morning. You are not allowed to sacrifice the Passover in any of your towns which the Lord God is giving you, but at the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. You shall sacrifice the Passover in the evening at sunset at the time that you came out of Egypt." God is reinstituting for them, or reminding them to continue and to remember to celebrate this Passover. Why is he doing that? Can you not imagine all of those people who were there, what they saw, what they remembered, what they heard? Well, yes, but guess what? It's no longer just them. They have children. There are others who have come along that's going with them, and God knows that it's just one generation away from people forgetting what he did. It's the reason we remember it today. He told them to remember there at verse 3. He says, remember. Verse 1 says, to observe. What are they remembering? Verse 1 says, in the month of Abib, your Lord God brought you out of Egypt. He wanted them to remember his power. He wanted them to remember the faith. He wants them to pass down this heritage to their children that they could tell the story. One of the main questions we were asked during the Seder, there's several questions that are asked at the beginning, and then there are several parts of the meal that you take place. And I found it amazing this time that the missionary said that they had went to the rabbis and they had discussed, because it's not cheap to put on this meal, said if they didn't have money, what was the one part of the Passover meal that they could not do without? Of course, we were all, you know, the lamb or all of this stuff. He said, no, it's the questions at the beginning. And the question is the child asks, or he reads, "Father, why is this night any different than any other night?" Because the whole purpose of the Seder, the whole purpose of the Passover meal for the Jews, is to remember what God had done for them. And then he says at verse 3, you shall not eat leavened bread. And we were reminded, what is leaven? Leaven in the Bible often represents sin. But here they had to prepare the place for the Passover meal. They had to take time. He said it was several weeks leading up to it. And it was the wife's job to come in and to clean and make sure there's no leaven. Well, we don't have leaven today, do we? Yeah, you have yeast. For those of you who don't know what leaven is, there's yeast. I said pizza dough. You know, everybody likes pizza. There can be no yeast in the house or around, because it's reminding them that when the death angel passed over, Pharaoh came and he said, get out, and get out now. They didn't have time to take their starter for their friendship bread and to knead it and to add to it and to feed it and allow the yeast to grow. They had to go. So the whole time they're in the wilderness, they're eating unleavened bread. They're making bread without yeast because they didn't have time to do that. But God knew that, and he's using it symbolically to teach them that we must be away from sin. We must clean ourselves out. We must prepare ourselves in remembering the Passover. And he said it was so interesting that as the day approaches, it's then the male's job of the house to go, and they would take a little feather and a little spoon, and he'd go around with a light, and he would shine in all of the dark corners. And he would take that little feather and he'd find the little crumb and they would do it. He says now, in part of their tradition, that crumb is left in the same place. But before, it was the male's, the head of the household's job to make sure that the house was prepared for the Passover feast. He says to remember it. He also says to remember all the days when you came out of the land of Egypt. Israel, remember the bondage that you were in before you were set free. Remember the suffering and the pain that you went through as slaves. But this, I find it very interesting because it's going to come up again. We see it in two places. Look at verse 6. But at the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. Let me go to 5 so we get all of it. You are not allowed to sacrifice the Passover in any of your towns which the Lord your God is giving you. But at the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name, you shall sacrifice the Passover. That's very important because if you go today to a Jewish home and you partake of the Seder, there is one part that is missing this day, and that is the lamb. Because, get this, church, God says he institutes the place where they can do the sacrifice. Where was that at? The temple. The Jews are allowed to only sacrifice at the temple. Well, guess what? The sacrifice is used to cover over their sins. And we're going to see in a minute, there is no temple today. They cannot sacrifice their lamb for their Passover meal. So they just use a bone to symbolize it. They cannot come in their religion and have their sacrifice once a year to cover over those sins. The importance of the Passover lamb. We're going to touch on that in just a moment. But it can only be done where he is at, where he says. And thirdly, we have the Passover lamb fulfilled. You see, the Passover lamb was instituted in Exodus when God chose those people. He was leading them out. He says, here is what it takes to cover over bloodshed, to be put over, to be washed over, so that the death misses your home. And then the Passover lamb is remembered. He tells them, continue to do this. Teach this, use this as a symbol to teach your children, to remind even you where you were in your sin, in your bondage, just as we are in sin, before I came and rescued you. And now, God has been setting this all the way up since the second book of the Bible in Exodus, where he gives us a specific details is there for a reason, and it's all prophecy leading up to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming and being the fulfillment of that Passover lamb. You remember those details we've talked about. Let me just briefly remind you a few of them. Pick it on the 10th day. Hold it till the 4th day. Sacrifice it the 14th day between the sunsets or at twilight. It must be male and it must be perfect. Now let's scoop forward some years. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, because this is where it starts getting good, to see the fulfillment of what God has instituted for you and for me because he loves us. This is rich. 15, y'all go ahead and turn to 33, which is what's going to be on the screen, but I want to scoot up just a few verses to get us ready. Jesus has now gone to the Gethsemane. He has prayed in that garden. He's come back over. He's gone to trial. He's been beaten. He's walking down the Via Dolorosa up to Calvary's Hill. And now here we are, and it says, they crucified two robbers with him. Jesus is being crucified, one on the right, one on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with transgressors. Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Let me pause there just a second. Oh, if I'd have been Jesus, I'd looked at him and said, ha, joke's on you, because it's coming, right? We're going to look at that next week. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified him were also insulting him. Here's where I want y'all to pick up with me, verse 33. Says, when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, behold, he is calling to Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave him a drink, saying, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Church, there's a lot here. I could probably preach a whole sermon from just right here. But I think to bring everything to fulfillment for what Christ did, I want you to notice, well, we're going to get there for just a second. Pick the lamb on the 10th, the one that you choose for a sacrifice, and you're going to sacrifice it on the 14th of the month. Church, if you do the math, Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem would have been the 10th day of the month of Abib. The sacrifice lamb has been chosen, and he has made his way into Jerusalem. And if you count the days to his crucifixion, he would have been sacrificed on the 14th day of the month. Does that sound familiar? Exactly what God said the Passover lamb must be. Picked on the 10th, crucified on the 14th day. When did he say to crucify, or when did he say to sacrifice, but at the twilight? Your Bible's probably as mine talks about the sixth hour. The sixth hour would have been 12 noon, our time. 12 noon, darkness fell over, crucifixion began. 12 noon, darkness fell over the land. Just like now, it'd be daylight, and all of a sudden it became dark. Dark symbolizes our separation and the sin. Jesus began his crucifixion at 12 noon. A perfect, unblemished male lamb being sacrificed and having all of the weight of the sin of this world poured on him. As I mentioned last week, I believe for a brief moment, and we see it right there when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was all God. He's never separated from God, but he was also all human. And for the first time in his humanity, he could feel that God wasn't looking at him. Why is that? Because God can't look on sin. And he took the perfect male lamb, took your sin and my sin, and had it poured over him so that he could shed his blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and his blood shed. And those who by faith come to Jesus Christ alone finds that salvation, that Passover of the death angel. Now let me read to you just this, and I'm going to get back there. The first hour, we hear first hour, sixth hour, we just went through. For the Jews, the first hour, the lamb is brought out, the first lamb is brought out and tied to the altar. The priest prepares the altar. At the third hour, the first lamb is sacrificed, and that is the hour of prayer. Now get this, remember what time did it say Jesus came out on this crucifixion? It began to get dark at the sixth hour. For them, the sixth hour, the second lamb is brought out and tied to the altar at noon. At noon, Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was tied to the altar of sacrifice. Noon is the second hour of prayer. Here it is. When did Jesus breathe his last? Remember I said it was the ninth hour? The second lamb is sacrificed at 3 p.m. at the specific time specified. Jesus gave up his ghost and breathed his last at the ninth hour, 3 p.m. But for them today, 3 p.m. is the third hour of prayer, also called the hour of confession. God ain't no idiot. He has orchestrated and painted something from the beginning of time, knowing that Jesus Christ was going to come. And at the moment that Jesus Christ gave up his breath, or as it says, he uttered with a loud cry and breathed his last breath, at that moment, church, the veil in the temple was ripped from what? You know it, top to bottom. God took that veil, the veil of separation between the world and the Holy of Holies. Once a year, the priest could go in. God said, no more. Through faith and the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, anyone can come and have direct access. Do you know, church, why that's so important? Because 40 years after Jesus' time, the temple was utterly destroyed, and there is no place to go and sacrifice anymore. Because you know why? We don't need it. The ultimate sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the perfect and the ultimate lamb for our sacrifice. And he was crucified for you and for me. And there's no need for anything else but Christ, because anything else is a substitute. And the substitute's going to send you on a slippery road straight to hell, burning without chance of redemption anymore. So all of this comes together, seeing how Jesus was that perfect and that holy lamb. What do we need? Okay, great, I understand that. Well, there's three things I want you to take home. Number one, there is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus even said with his own mouth, I am the way, not a way. He said, I am the way. He is the only way. And he is that way because he was the ultimate fulfillment of what God instituted to be a sacrifice for sin. And then he chose the grandest one. God chose his greatest, his son. And he sent him, and he lived a perfect life, and he went to that cross, and he died on that cross to be the fulfillment of what God had set up for centuries and ages before. And he says there's going to be only one way. It's through the blood that was shed for you. Also, it's very important when we're looking at this and understanding that at the time of sacrifice, the one day a year, which is when Jesus would have been crucified, there was a specific time for it to happen. And church, for you and for me, there is a specific time that we accept Jesus Christ. And that's when God puts a calling in our life. If we miss that time and we die, we don't have another chance. I believe that we can hear God's calling and we can miss that time by refusing and refusing and refusing and refusing till we no longer hear it anymore. There is a specific time. And if you've never done it, that specific time is now. It is today. And then thirdly, just as Jesus reinstituted that, I believe also that it is for us to remember. We are to remember what Christ did for us. We are to remember our life in bondage and sin before Christ and what he did. And we're to use that as a teaching lesson. We are to teach those who are coming behind us, because church, they say we're one generation away. I almost say we're a half a generation away from them not knowing. And the tragic of them not knowing is they never will. The further we get away, the further we move away from that time, the more difficult it is. The more that Satan comes in, we need to remember ourselves where we were. When we go through hard times and difficult times, we can praise God because we can remember where we were in bondage, and that death angel has passed over. He went into that grave and Jesus Christ came out victorious. He defeated death and we are no longer in bondage to sin. We are freed because of our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. One way that we do that today, we don't have the Seder all the time, but one way we do that today is through the observance of the Lord's Supper. And next Sunday on Easter at our 11 o'clock service, we will be observing the Lord's Supper together as a family, remembering what that is. We're going to look at the cups that are talked about in the Bible through Jesus' life next week as we lead up to that. So remember, today is the day. There's one way only. We no longer need that mediator. The veil's been ripped. We can each, through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, receive the slain Passover who died for you and for me. Amen. May we remember that, and may we run to Jesus, the only way. Would you bow your heads?